Okay, now, any of you have any questions? Any question before we move on? See, okay, now, what we did last time is to look into basic concepts in the queuing model, waiting line applications. So we computed arrival rate, refers to number of arrivals in 1 hour, and then we look at the probabilities of, you know, one person arrived, two persons arrived, and so on. And then we get into the service rate. So we be able to compute number of people we can serve within 1 hour. In this case, 20 people we can serve, 30 people we can serve in 1 hour. And then we look at what is the service time. So when we say service time, it refers to average amount of time one customer being served. So in this case, in minutes. And then we discussed some basic concepts. Over here is the specific example we covered, looking at arrival rate, probabilities of probability distribution of arrivals. And then we look at what is the probability we have a certain number of people arrive in a certain amount of time. And that's the applications. And then we look at the distribution of the service time, which is exponentially distributed if the arrival rate is Poisson. So we covered those. And then we look at the probability of being served within a certain amount of time that's given by this equation over here. So you can see the process, we compute that. And then we look into the queuing applications. From question L and on refers to in this case, we have one server indicated by this, the one at the very end, okay? This M refers to the Poisson distribution. And the second M refers to the exponential distribution for the service. And we use M because the author of the person actually devised this theory and applications is Markov. So we use his name, indicates abbreviation of, use as abbreviation of the measures developed over here. So the utilization of the servers given by the ratio of arrival rate to the service rate. And then we look at, in this case, it's 20 over 30, give you 66.7%. And then the LQ refers to number of people on average waiting in the queue before being served. And L refers to the number of people in the system. So that includes the person being served. And again, as we mentioned before, the queue, the server is not 100% busy. So that's why you can see the average number of people in the system equals the average number of people in the queue plus the portion of time the server is busy. So you can see equals 2. That's 1.33 plus 0.667. And then we look at amount of time on the average a person spend in the queue, in the waiting line before being served, which is given by LQ divided by lambda, which is arrival rate. So we got 4 divided by 60, it gets 1 over 15 hours. So it's a small portion of 1 hour, and it equals 4 minutes. And then we get into the probability customer will have to wait. So it's PW. Somebody has to wait. Again, as we mentioned, the situation, there are two cases. One is there is a person being served by the server. So when the second person come in, the person has to wait in the line. But if that person is the first person, you know, in the line to be served, once the the one in the server is out. The second case is there are at least one or two more people in the queue, so the person joined the queue waiting there. So that implies another person is being served. So so that equals, again, you can see equals the utilization. That's the ratio of lambda over mu. In this case, equals two-thirds. Again, 66.7%. Okay? And how long, on the average, a customer has to spend in the whole system? So, you know, if I go to the bank and I join the queue, waiting in the lobby, and then until my turn, and then finish my transaction over there, that's the total amount of time, including the time spent in the queue, versus, and also the time spent in the being served front of the window. Okay, so that equals 1 over mu minus lambda. Mu is the service rate in hours. How many people we can serve in 1 hour minus lambda, that is the arrival rate. How many people arrive to the service, to the station. So the reciprocal of the difference of those two mu minus lambda, okay? So in this case, equals 6 minutes. So anybody, any question before we get on the new stuff? So let's see. Now that's where we pretty much where we are last time, and then we look at what is the probability there are two customers in the system. So in this case, we use P2. This subscript 2 refers to there are two people in the system. If we look at P0, refers to nobody in the system. When we say system, that includes the person in being served by the server. Okay, so equals P0, and then multiply by that term within the parentheses, that's the ratio of arrival rate to the service rate squares. Again, you know, these squares match up with this subscript. Anytime you're looking for number of people being served and a number of people in the system, you always match up those two things, okay? So in this case, equals 0.1482. So that gives you the number of people in the system, probability for the number of people in the system. And then the P0 in this case refers to nobody in the system. Nobody in the system. So that implies the person come over does not need to wait. So what is the probability nobody in the system? In this case, it's one-third. Remember, you know, in the previous example, if you look at the previous example over here, PW refers to the probability somebody has to wait, okay? So that means there is at least one person in the system. So P0 refers to nobody in the system. So those two things are complementary. Remember the concept of complementary probability. The probabilities of complementary events, A and B, those two things. In this case, nobody in the system, that's P0, probability P0. And versus somebody has to wait, that implies at least one person in the system being served. At least, okay? Those two events are complementary. The complementary events, they have the property, the summation of the two probabilities, they have to be one. So if you look at, you know, add one-third to the two-thirds, the probability is going to be one, okay? So that property is useful later on when we try to figure out certain probabilities in the questions, okay? So let's move on to S. That's where we stopped, okay? So let's look at what is the probability there are more than two customers waiting to order. So what I mean over here is there are two customers waiting in line. Be very careful about the wording of the question, okay? Waiting to order, place order,
than two persons in the queue implies there are actually three or more persons in the system. So you have to be very clear. Okay? The three or more persons in the system. Okay? So, wait a second. Let me go back, okay? There are more than two persons in the queue implies there are three or more persons in the queue. Everybody okay with that? Okay, be very careful here, okay? Because that the boundary conditions, you know, make a difference to the answers, okay? So that's where I would say probably 50% of you are going to make a mistake on this question, okay? And that means there are three persons or more in the queue, but keep in mind the condition for somebody staying in the queue is somebody, there is another person being served. So essentially when we look at the total number of people in the system, you have to add one more person, that person being served. So you always divide you know, your analysis to a question like this into three pieces, okay? You're always looking for how many people actually in the queue in this case, and then set the boundary condition greater than equal how many people, okay? And then look at add the number of persons being served by the servers. The reason I use the plural over here because in cases we have more than one servers, okay? If you have two servers in this case, we're going to have, you know, in this case, 3 plus 1 is going to get, in our case here, we got one server. But in some cases, we may have two servers. So if we have two servers, and then we're going to get 3 plus 2, we're going to get 5 people in the system. Okay? So just be sure you understand, you know, the sequence of the events and the sequence of the analysis, you know, we use. Okay? So that implies the probability of Pn greater than equals 4, that reflects this problem, the question is asking. Okay? And then that equals 1 minus probability of n less than equals 3. Again, if you draw the boxes and highlight the, you know, the ones included versus the one not, you know, separate those two, you should be able to figure this out. And then that gives us the answers of 1 minus P0, P1, P2, P3, and so on. So that gives the answers. And then we can attack each of those with this equation. See this equation over here? We can simply change the P sub n, you know, and then that will give you each of those answers. So again, this part is the hardest part. Okay, go ahead.
Why is it 1 minus p n less than or equal to 3 rather than less than or equal to 4?
Because it says more than.
I know, but when we like during the three steps that we determined it was p n greater than or less than 4, so when you do like the 1 minus, why isn't it less than or equal to 4? Like why did you reduce it back to 3?
You mean over here?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly the boundary conditions. So let me see. If I draw the boxes, see, let's use these boxes, okay? See, it's a greater than equals 4. That means from this point and on. Is that correct? Now, if this point and on, remember the total probabilities from 0 to infinity, whatever the number is going to be in the system, summation is going to be 1. We're looking for from this point and on equals the greater than equals 4. 4 is part of it. Okay, 4 is part of it. Actually, we separate over here this part. Okay, 4 is part of it. Now, if we use 1 minus 0, 1, 2, 3 of the probabilities, we're going to get the same answer. That's the reason.
Okay.
Just be sure you know you understand this simple logic. Because that's the only way you can actually answer this question correctly. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't matter how much effort you spend, you cannot answer that correctly. Go ahead.
Okay, so
For a problem S, was the probability there two or more customers waiting in, waiting to order? What if it was three or more customers? What numbers would change?
If the question, let me rephrase Vincent's question, okay? And his question is, what is the probability there are more than three customers waiting to order? Okay? If that's the question, there are more than three customers waiting to order, okay? So that we're going to have n greater than 3 in the queue. Greater than 3. So now we look at the boundary conditions, the second step, okay? So n greater than equals 4. Greater than equals 3 implies greater than 3 implies greater than equals 4. Now, you add one more person in the server, so that means you're looking for n greater than equals 5 in the answer. So you add one more person over here, that equals 1 minus pn less than equals 4. So you're actually looking for in this graph, you know, from this point and on, and then you just add one more, you know, pn n equals 4. So that means you kind of will use this equation and then change this to 4. And then get the results of this and add it to the end of this.
So whenever there's more than one customer, you always add one more on top of it?
And there's another case you have to add one more. That is the number of servers. You have multiple servers. You have two servers, three servers. So, you know, in those cases, and again, you would kind of add it to the end.
So one being served means, so say you had two servers, you would do plus two?
That's right.
Okay.
Everybody clear with that? It's a very simple thing, you know. So if you kind of just go through this once or twice, you'll be okay. So again, the problem is people, you know, just do not spend the time to think. So that's where, you know, they're going to miss the question like this, okay? Now we get into a different way to look at the problem. We use the queue. There is a Excel program come with the textbook, so we can use that to compute whatever the applications we have, okay? So in this case, you can see we have, if we use 25 as a arrival rate, 25 people or 5 each hour, and the service rate is going to be 30, that means, you know, every 2 minutes one person can be served. So if that's the case, and then there's one server over there, and it's MMSQ. That S refers to number of servers. So this piece of software actually be able to compute, you know, as far as the number of servers goes, you know, multiple servers situation. So that's, and then it's going to give you the answers for the utilization, for the probability of a system without anybody, P0, and average number of people in the queue, and average number of people in the system, and the waiting time on the average in the queue, and the waiting time on the average, you know, spent in the whole system, and the last one is PW, you know, the probability somebody has to wait. So give you all the answers for those, and it's very useful, and you can see, I suppose, the business increased by 25%. The start of a semester for the store, and if that's the case, can one counter handle the increased volume? So the number one thing is figure out what that means by 25% increase in the volume of the service. So the original service arrival rate is 20 arrivals in 1 hour, am I right? 20, you know, every 3 minutes a person come over, so each hour we get a 20 people get into the booth store. Now, increased by 25%, how would you figure out the new arrival rate after the 25% increase? So you use 20 multiplied by 0.25. That 0.25 is a quarter of 20. Is that correct, everybody? It'll give you 5. So you add that 5 to the original 20, give you 25. That's one way. Another one is just go ahead and use 20 times 1.25, give you 25, okay? So either way, again, you figure out the new arrival rate first. Any increase in the arrivals. Anybody? You okay, everybody? Am I right? Still sleepy? You okay? You know, let's be alive, okay? Now, anyone has any question to computer arrival rate? For example, 30% increase in the arrival. What is the arrival rate? 30% increase. Come on. So what do? You use what? Come on. You use 20 times 1.333, am I right? So what do you get? And then you have calculator, you know. So that's going to be 20. Because, you know, if you have a 30% increase, you have 1.3. Okay? So whatever the percent, you know, increase, you use 1 plus that percentage of increase. Okay? How about a 50% increase? What is the new arrival rate for 50% increase? So that's the way you do it, okay? Now, so in this case, when the arrival rate increased, okay, from 20 persons per hour to 25 persons per hour, and the utilization, we keep the utilization, you see a utilization going to change, okay? So lambda divided by mu, let's use the equation equals 25 divided by 30, give you 0.8333. That's less than 1, and that's this number, okay? And then you look at LQ, we can use the equation to compute LQ, okay? However, this software, Q, that software give you these answers automatically, okay? And in this case, equals 4.1667. And L, that's the average number of people in the system, is 5. And then the amount of time spent in the queues, WQ equals 10 minutes. Again, all the numbers, WQ and W, are in hours. So in order to communicate easily to your manager, and you may want to kind of all your clients, you may want to convert those numbers into minutes. Because 0.1667 hours, we do not know how much time it is. So when multiply by 60, and then you get the hours. So W in this case, 0.2 hours, multiply by 60, you know it's 12 minutes. Anybody have any questions about the computations for those? You okay with that? Okay. Now let's look at the table below, okay? Let's look at this table. What I did was I changed the arrival rate each time from 20, 21, 23 until 30. That's the arrival rate. But I keep the service rate no change. And then I record the numbers of each and I put them horizontally, kind of try to see where they are. You can see utilization, when the arrival rate increased, the utilization increased gradually. You can see from 67% until 100%. Because if your arrival rate equals service rate, you know, the two are going to be equal, so the utilization is going to be 100%. Now, if that's the case, how about W? I think this one is W, let's look at W 6 minutes. 6 minutes. W 6 minutes, let me try to think about, 6 minutes refers to the, 25, let me look at 25, okay, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, yeah, so I actually record only W over here, okay, and W refers to average number of minutes people spend in the system, okay, so from 6 minutes, when we have a arrival rate only 20 each hour, from 6 minutes increase to 12 minutes when we have 25 people arrive, okay? So that's 12 minutes spent in the system, okay? 0.2 hours. And until, so see, with every single person increase as part of the arrival, and you can see average amount of time spent in the system going to increase by, you know, after 25 minutes, 15, 20, it's as planned increased. Increased quite a lot. Remember the service times is exponentially distributed. So you can see the amount of time increase, that's pretty dramatic. Okay? What's the implication of that? Implication is the service quality. Because whether or not customers be willing to spend, you can see 20 or more minutes in the system, that's a question. A lot of people may not be willing to spend that much time in the system, you know. So then you look at the average queue length. The average length of the system. So that includes the person being served and also the number of people waiting in line. Okay, that's L. In this case, you can see when we have 25, you know, people rob each other, it is 5. 5 people in the system, okay? But, you know, when we have the arrival rate only 20, only 2 persons in the system, including the one being served, okay? Remember we say 0.667 person being served, and then 1.33, you know, in the queue. So together it's going to be 2. But when the arrival rate increased to 25, you have 5 persons actually in the system. Okay, that includes 0.833 that portion of a person in the server, and then you know. The 4.1667 that person, you know, in the queue. So add those two up, you get 5 people in the system. Now, these simple computations, you know, add those two together, you're gonna get L, which is average number of in the system. That's only true when we have one server. When we have more than one servers later on, this relationship may not be correct. Okay, so be very careful. You can see when the arrival rate increases dramatically, you can see the number of persons waiting in the queue in the system is going to increase dramatically. You can see from 2 right now until 29. If you match up the number of people in the arrival versus number of people being served, so very dramatic. There's a long line, you know, before the counter, so a lot of people going to be discouraged to join the queue. So that's the reason, one of the major reasons we study the waiting line model, because a lot of us are going to be in the service, and you have to watch out, and then be sure you understand, you know, the situation here, and then be able to kind of modify your strategy to serve the customers. You can see those numbers, we do not have those numbers anymore because it's, as we say, you know, those numbers cannot be obtained. You know, it's not in a steady state. So, now let's look at the question number 2. Suppose we want to estimate average waiting cost, you know, how much wait it cost the bookstore, you know, if people wait 1 more minute. You know, again, when people see the line start to build up and then they, you know, go to somewhere else. So if that's the case and they want to know, you know, what's the cost of waiting and what's the cost of paying for the employees to work, okay? So the point here is we need to balance the number of employees working, because the more the number of employees working, and then the better the chance we will have shorter lines, you know, for people to wait, and customers be happier, and then being served, you know, they will not go to somewhere else. So let's assume, you know, our customers being paid $30 an hour, include benefits, and then you look at the penalty cost is 60 cents each minute, and the people, you know, need to wait say 60 minutes on the average. Because let's look at, you know, the customer is going to be paid. Let's say the penalty cost is going to be 60 cents per minute. Okay. And then you look at the and the employee is $30 per hour, and what is the average total cost per hour at a food store during non-peak time? So one window is open for service, arrival rate equals 25, you know, per hour. So the equation, again, you know, we need to figure out using this, let's say, using L, we need to use L multiplied by, you know, how much we pay for the penalty each hour, okay? So, you know, each minute, the penalty is 60 cents. How about 1 hour? So that's the first step we need to figure out. So 60 minutes each minute multiplied by 60 minutes each hour give you how much penalty for people waiting. In this case, it's going to be $36 per hour. Okay. Again, be sure you define all the variables, the amount in the same time frame. You know, we talk about the minutes, you use all minutes, that's fine. If you talk about hours, we talk about hours all through, okay? So we got $30 for paying the employee. We got one server, one employee, and then $36 per hour paid for people to wait for 1 hour. Again, you know, the system gonna give you, you know, the waiting time in the system, L, that's in minutes. So again, convert that into 60 minutes and then multiply by per minute penalty, give you per hour's penalty, okay? Once you have those, and then you multiply by, this one is the equal sign, okay? L equals 5, that's from a previous screen, okay? So I think I probably have to quit this. The reason is my battery is wrong. Even I record, I may not be able to process this. So I think that's what happened. Okay. So you see, for 25, arrival rate equals 25, and the number of people in the L, that's equals 5. Okay. So, and again, in this case, you know, the total cost is going to be $30 per hour plus $36 per hour multiplied by 5, give you 210. Anybody, you know, everybody go ahead and get your calculator, computer, 210. That's the, you know, question we have not covered. So pretty much, you know, once we cover this, most of the questions in the queuing chapter you should be able to handle, I believe, you know. So anything else is going to be minor variations of this logic. Okay, so go ahead and compute the total cost in this situation. Okay, there are two parts of it. You know, the first part is going to be the amount of money paid for the server. In this case, $30 per hour. And when we see the total cost, it's total cost per hour. Okay, and then that employee's cost plus the hourly penalty cost, which has two parts. One is the hourly penalty multiplied by number of people in the system, which is L, given by the system. Or we can compute, you know, by hand. And let's look at a different scenario over here. You can see the arrival rate is still be 25 people arrive each hour, and then the service rate for one server is going to be 30. So every 2 minutes we can serve one customer, and then the number of servers is 2 now. So the food store actually opened 2 counters. Now when they see people, you know, got too many people waiting, and in that situation, what are the issues and how do we compute the corresponding, you know, total cost and probability of waiting, probability of nobody in the system, and so on. So that's the situation we have, okay? Now, the first thing I want to mention is this. This P0, PW situation, that case, that relationship you know, those two events we mentioned, they are complementary. It's not the case anymore. Okay, so just be very careful. And in this case, the model to be used, okay, the appropriate model to be used in this case is MMS model. So it's a Poisson arrival, exponential service, and then multi-servers. Again, S in this case equals 2. Okay, so it's MM2Q model. Okay, Qing model. So what's the assumptions over here? It's Poisson arrival, or arrival follows Poisson distribution, and with the average lambda equals 25, and the service follows exponential distribution with the average service rate equals 30 by each server, and then we have two servers, okay? And customers going to go to the first open window to be served. So those are the assumptions. Again, when we look at utilization lambda over mu, the utilization in this case, we have to use lambda divided by the S times mu. So because we got two servers, so you use 2 times mu as a denominator. Anybody, any question? Again, has to be, I use a 2 less than sign over here, indicates they strictly less than 1. Okay. So, question anybody? You okay, guys? Feel better now, you know? So, okay. Let's look at the average amount of time, you know, the servers are busy. So that given by the utilization. So the ratio of arrival rate to denominator over here is S multiplied by mu. So it's 5 over 12 in this case equals 0.4167. It's 41.67% less than 1. Okay, go ahead.
What is utilization called?
Like, utilization refers to percentage of time on the average server's busy. Okay. So in this case, if we talk about one server being busy, you got two servers. So on the average, each server in this case is going to spend 41.67% of their time to serve customers. Yeah. So the other over 58.3% of time they idle. You know.
Throughout what amount of time though?
That's the average during the day, average during the whole day. You know, if you look at a person, you know, just 1 hour or whatever, the same thing. Everybody okay with that? And then what is the value of P0? What is the probability nobody in the system? Go ahead.
What is next to the first open window in parentheses when it says F1, FS? What does that stand for?
Oh, it's a first in, first serve.
Okay.
It's a first in, first serve. First come, first serve.
Okay.
Okay. So that's FS. The probability nobody in the system in this case going to be given by S equals 2, P0 equals this equation. Okay, so equals eventually 41.18%. Okay. These equations are given on the last page of this this document. So if you printed this out, you know, you can see. Let me just quickly go over there, let you see where they are. See, that's the equation, okay? You can see that's the this is a derivation of the equation, okay? You know, we just look at it, okay? So it's a quite complicated derivation. And part of the requirement for you is to be able to look through a very complicated situation and then break them down into pieces and then get results. So we will get into this later on. Okay. So let me go back to number 3. So see.
So then the computation for just P0.
That's only for P0, because once you got a P0, everything else will be very easy. Only P0 is quite complicated. Okay, so and again, we do not rely on manual computations a lot. Okay, so the only reason we ask you to compute P0 through that complicated derivation is to kind of improve your ability to kind of manipulate the equation and then be able to get the answers correctly, understand the equation, the notations, and so on. Okay, but most likely, most of the problems in the queuing model, complicated ones, okay, going to be given by that piece of software, queue software. Okay? So you need to download that software from the Blackbird or from your CD, and then load on your computer, and then open that, use it to solve those problems, give you the LQ, L, P0, PW automatically. Okay, so those are the answers from that. You can see PW equals P0 multiplied by this, and again, once you compute the P0, this piece should be more straightforward than P0 again. So, and this number PW, 24.51%, actually is given from that computer software. Again, you know, over here we manually compute those just in case, you know. And also just be sure we confirm the answers from two different ways, okay? How long on average take a customer to be served? That refers to the person spent in the queue, you know, and also the amount of time person spent in the queue plus the amount of time spent in the being served. So the two pieces together, okay? So that equals, in this case, you have L divided by lambda, so it's about 2.42 minutes. So that's not too bad, you know. And once a server started to serve a customer, and then how long on average for a customer to finish that service? So that's another question. You know, I start to be served, and how long you know actually be there being served? So that's the difference between W and WQ. So it's 0.0403 minus 0.007 equals 0.0333 hours multiplied by 60 give you the number of minutes, okay? And probability there are two customers in the bookstore. Two customers. So P2 equals P0 multiplied by this equation, okay? And again, you can see this equation differs from the previous one, the denominator. Denominator actually is the number of servers factorial. It's factorial of number of servers. That's the denominator. Okay. So again, equals 0.143. So, and that only applies when the n less than equals number of servers. In this case, equals 2. So, be careful those conditions. And the probability more than two customers wait to be served. Now, come back to the same question as Alice before, am I right? Remember that question before? Now we got two servers. We got two servers instead of one. So let's look at the logic again. So it's very easy to make a mistake, okay? So n greater than 2 in the queue refers to 3 or more in the queue. So that's the first step, okay? You know, you look at more than 2, and then you look at the boundary conditions in the queue, which is greater than equals 3. And then we need to add two more persons being served, and that means, you know, essentially we have 5. So n greater than 4 equals probability of n greater than equals 5, and then equals 1 minus probability of n less than equals 4. Same logic, okay? So once you go through those carefully, and you'll be okay. Okay, so absolutely pay attention to the boundary condition and absolutely pay attention to one greater than equals change to one minus, you have to minus one of them because that person has to be in the answer. So when you deduct, you cannot deduct the fifth person. The fifth person has to be part of the answers. When you minus, you take them out, okay? Those people, they are not part of the answer. That's from 0 to 4. But the number 5 person, that person is in the answer.
For P0, P1, P2, P3, and all that, the equations that you use to get those probabilities, for P0, would you use the 2 mu minus lambda over 2 mu plus lambda?
Yes.
And if it's key 1 through 4, you would use the one right above it?
Yes, you use this equation to get it.
Okay.
Yeah. And most likely in this case, okay, most likely in this case, you know, on the assignment and quizzes and on the test, you will not be asked to compute those P1, P2, P3, P4 repeatedly, you know. So it's very likely those numbers are going to be here, okay, in one way or another. So you need to know where they are, you need to know the concept of them. You need to know you are going to start with P4. You do not want to add P5 over here. Do you understand my question here? You know, so you do not stop in P3. See, you know, the boundary condition really, so, you know, differs. Quite a few of you are going to make that mistake, you know, it doesn't matter how many times we say that, okay? Question? Okay? And again, you know, those be able to pay attention to the details are the ones, you know, you will be okay. I remember, you know, if you look at your assignments, homework queuing 1, 2, and 3, you know, this question in all three exercises. You know why? Because when I give them the first time, I grade it, they make mistakes, quite a few. And then you give them the second time, you know, part of that is homework queue 2. And then there are people, quite a few people make mistakes again. And that's why I put them in all three assignments, okay? Just hopefully, you know, you go through three times and you eventually can get it. Total cost for the bookstore to open two windows, okay? So again, you know, we have $30 paid to each employee, multiplied by 2, got $60, and then plus $36, you know, multiplied by L. Now what happened? L right now equals 1.084. So L in this case decreased dramatically, okay? And that is decreased dramatically. So that is, you know, the total cost is only 96.3. Remember the previous total cost is 210. Now it's only 96.3. So if the bookstore realize how much costing for people to wait that long, and then they may be willing to just go ahead hire one more employee instead of letting people go to all campus bookstore to get their books. Do you see the kind of argument over here? You know, that's the reason, you know, you try to hold your customers, to not let them go to your competitors, and that's the logic, that's the reason we compute the total cost. You try to balance, you know, the number of employees you pay the salary for and versus the kind of penalties, you know, otherwise we would pay if our, you know, if we have customers go to our competitors. And again, the penalty cost, the estimate for the penalty cost, that's an arguable situation. So you have to, based on your experience, and see how many people actually go to our competitors and how much money we actually lost from those lost sales. And that's how those, you know, 60 cents estimates come from for each minute of waiting, okay? And over here, you can see we increased the number of servers to 3, and then see what happened, okay? And when we increase to 3, you can see, you know, the total cost is 120. You see, why increase to 3, you know, the cost increase is not good anymore, because we're going to pay $90 for the servers right now, for the employees. Each customer, each employee will pay $30, multiplied by 3, that's $90. And then the L refers to the average number of people in the system, which it was 1.084 before, but now it's 0.8555. Decrease marginally, okay? So in that situation, we're going to end up with paying more. So if you, the manager in the bookstore, you know, among the three choices, one server, two servers, three servers, which one would you pick? 2, is that correct? Because one server total cost will be what? How much? 210, am I right? and then three servers, you got 120, and then, you know, two servers only about 96. So definitely, you're going to choose two servers, okay? So that's the whole logic of, you know, using the waiting line theory to guide our decision making and improve business operations. That's the whole, you know, reason for us to sit here, you know, go through this methodically, you know, pretty tedious and a lot of equations and everything, and that's eventually get you to this point. So you understand, you know, yes, it's going to benefit the business, and especially for us, you know, a lot of you are going to be in service, and you know, waiting line situation, you know, directly deal with customers. It's very important for us to understand that waiting time actually costs us business. So you need to pay attention to make sure, you know, customers will not go to our competitors. So, okay, let's look at this case. On a particular day of business or semester, let's see, increase so that customers arrive about every 1.2 minutes. 1.2 minutes arrival each person, okay? So, on the average. So, if you use 60 divided by 1.2, how many arrivals do we have? 50 arrivals, is that right? 60 divided by 1.2 give you 50 arrivals each hour, okay? So, arrival increased dramatically, okay? And then, two windows open for service, and it take about the average 2 minutes serve each customer, so service speed doesn't change, okay? So so that's the situation, 50 people arrive, and 30 people we can serve each hour, we got two servers. And then we want to look at what's the average, you know, measures we have here, okay? So, you know, service rate, 83% of server's time, you know, used to serve the customers, and nobody in the system, that probability is 0.0909, I believe. So it's only about less than 10% of times the system is empty, nobody in the bookstore, okay? So that means the bookstore really pretty busy. And the LQ, on the average, close to 4 people are going to be in the queue all the time, okay? And L, that's the average length of the system. So that's amount, number of people in the queue plus the number of people being served. Again, we have two servers. And you can see it's 5.45. And then on the average, 0.0758 hours of our time going to be in the queue. And on the average, 0.10, so amount of time all going to be in the system. So 0.10, you know, it's about 10% of 1 hour. So you know, you got 60 minutes. So 10% of it. So you talk about 66 minutes. About that 10, you know, about 6 minutes. So that's the situation. Okay. So now let's look at a few things. And you got a WQ and a W, which is 6 minutes. And then we compute the total cost right now. You see two customers. So two employees, we pay $60 plus $36 multiplied by L, give us 256. See, one arrival rate increased dramatically. And then two servers may not be enough because L is so long. And now when we increase number of employees, that's going to reduce L dramatically. And in that situation, we may justify to have three employees working instead of two. So let's look at what happened again. And you can see our emphasis over here really in balancing the total cost, you know, amount of money paid to the employees plus the amount of money, you know, penalty amount, you know, for customers waiting, okay? So in this case, the L equals 5 and we got a 210. Let's see, for MM1Q, let's see, yeah, that's our previous example, okay? We just kind of brought them back over here for a quick review, you know. So that's a private example. And there are two ways to think about this, okay? There are two ways. If we separate, this question is a very good question. Very good question, okay? Let's go back to the configuration of the bookstore first, okay? We got two servers. We have two servers, okay? Let me go back here. Yeah. We got two servers, two windows open, two counters open. There is only one waiting line, one queue, feeding both windows. Okay? So whichever the window finished, that next person gonna jump into that open window. One line waiting. Okay? Now, that's this case. At the same time, we can think about why not, you know, each window has a queue. Each window has a line waiting. You know, separate line waiting for each open window. Is that clear, everybody? We can have one waiting line or we can have two waiting lines for each open window. Question is whether or not one waiting line to feed both windows versus, you know, two window line, one for each window, do you believe that will make a difference in terms of the total cost for the business or in terms of the productivity for the day? What's your common sense? What's your hunch, you know, to answer that question? Give me the answer. It doesn't matter, right or wrong. Do you believe they are going to be the same? Some of you may say, yeah, I think they're pretty much the same. Am I right? Some of you say, may not, I don't know, you know. So the answer is, they will not. Okay? So that's another reason you learn the queuing theory, you learn the waiting line applications, that's going to benefit the business, okay? Keep in mind this 256, that's the amount of money we paid, okay? Well, we have two windows, one line feed two windows. The total cost is going to be 256, okay? Question?
Yeah, what's the equation to get the
The equation to get the total cost is the amount of money paid to employee multiplied by number of servers plus $36 of penalty each hour of waiting multiplied by L that's given, you know, for two servers, the L equals 5.45 given by the program. Okay? So the equation always like that. Okay? Two pieces. Penalty part and the employee salary part together. Okay? And now, let's look at this. When we have two separate waiting lines to feed each server, each window separately, okay? Remember, the 210 refers to one server. Am I right? 210 refers to one server. What are we doing? We separate. Remember, that in this situation, we arrive with 50. But when we treat as two separate lines, one feed each window, each server, we can treat them as arrival rate only 25 and service rate 30, one server. So we essentially split the situation into two pieces. Am I right, everybody? Do you follow what I'm doing here? You have two separate lines and the situation will be identical. The only difference is we now got two lines instead of only one line. Two separate lines, okay? Remember, each line, we paid the 210, each line. Now we got two lines, we just simply multiply by two. 420. Total cost is going to be 420. So that's dramatically more than what we paid, you know, if we configure, we use one line, okay? What's the implication to you once you learn, you know about the queuing theory? Whenever possible, you are going to use one waiting line instead of two. Is that correct? That's why, I don't know, any of you go to Disney, you know, or different places, and there are a lot of people waiting. They actually use the metal bar to bar people walking through those long, very long, kind of like a snake kind of waiting line. Is that right? Have you ever been in a situation like that? Remember that? The reason is very simple. They're going to save tons of money by doing that, improve productivity, reduce the cost of operation, because they have multiple lines. They have multiple lines, okay? You see, in our situation, we have two servers. If you think about it, you have multiple servers, you use multiple lines, 1 feed each server, it's very, very ineffective, okay? Now, you know, use one line, doesn't matter how long it's going to be, you know, and it's going to be much, much quicker, several times more effective than otherwise, okay? Understand now? It's very important, okay? So that's, I actually say, you know, probably they, you know, most significant benefit to learn for, you know, queuing theory, you know, with the queuing, knowledge in the queuing model versus those results, okay? And this case, question number seven, okay? Question number seven, change the scenario, okay? Remember so far we discussed MMSQ. For some arrival, I have potential service and then multi-servers, okay? Now we change a little bit. You can see over here, we modify the service time. The way the service provided is different, okay? Look at the scenario, everybody, you can kind of quickly read those, you can see, okay? The arrival rate still be 25 people arrive each hour, okay? However, the two pairs of employees, two pairs, okay? So they rotate the shifts, and both pairs can fill customer orders in 2 minutes on the average. Average time, no difference. And then James and Cheryl frequently chat with customers, so their customer service times are more variable than Ryan and Heather's. Okay? So, you know, average time be the same, but one pair, two people, you know, they chat with customers a lot, the others, they do not, okay? Average amount of time be the same, but, you know, something, you know, variations, standard deviations are going to be different, okay? So you can see Cheryl and James, they have 2 minutes at the standard deviation of service time, and then Ryan and Heather, their standard deviation will be 1 minute. Okay? Average amount of time to serve customers be the same, but the standard deviations are different, and then the question is whether or not the productivity will be the same. See, you're the manager. Whether or not you'll be okay with customers, you know, chatting with your employees all the time, you know, even though on the average they can serve, you know, customers pretty much the same, you see? And the answer is they have quite a different outcome, okay? So again, you know, to answer this kind of question without a queuing, you know, understanding of the queuing theory and what we covered, you may not understand that at all, you know, for a layman person. You know, many people would argue, you know, for Jim and Cheryl, you know, on the average they serve customer equally, so why bother with it, you know? But the answer is not, you know. If you look at it here, see, we look at Ryan and Heather, okay? And Ryan will be 25, average service time is 0.0333. Where is from? 2 minutes, you know, divided by 60 minutes, give you hours. Arrival service rate has to be in hours. And then standard deviation, again, in hours, divided by 60, okay? So that gives you all those measures. Look at the few of them. Let's look at utilization. L, 3.43, and the average amount of time spent in the queue, more than 6 minutes. And in the system, it's more than 8 minutes, okay? So that's one person. Let's look at the next one. The next one is, you see, the service time on the average, they are the same. But the standard deviation twice as high as otherwise, okay? Look at here. Amount of time spent in the queue, instead of 6 minutes, it's 10 minutes. You see what happened? Customers spend almost twice as much time with James and Cheryl because they chat with customers. Then otherwise, James and Heather and Ryan. Okay. So again, you know, that's your call. You know, to let you know James and Cheryl to you know, reduce the amount of time chat with customers. Okay. So that's the that's number seven. Number eight. Arrival rate still be 50 per hour, and with two windows and service time 2 minutes. There is a currently, you know, we only have four customers can wait. Only four customers can wait. Okay, and in that situation, and then you know, what is the queuing model? So you should be able to answer this question because we look at MMSQ because number of maximum queue position is changed. So you can only have four. So in that situation, the answer is going to be different, and we can use this to get the answers. Okay. And then what happened if you know we can kind of accommodate more customers? And let's compare those two tables. Okay. The significant difference is in this situation. You know, in this situation, when we do not have enough room for customers to wait, customers going to balk. Okay. BALK. They're going to go over to somewhere else. They're going to leave. Okay. So that's the reason. You know, the maximum queue length is going to limit number of customers be able to wait if they waiting. Okay. Now, when we kind of increase the physical accommodation for the customers, and that will give us more chances to serve customers. And even though the queue lines, you know, waiting time be a little bit longer, but we can serve more customers. So that's the argument behind this. Okay. Now we come down to that question number three, you know, previous question, try to derive these pretty complicated, you know, equations, and we're going to do that next time, okay? Any questions? Okay, you can go ahead, you know, put your assignments on the table, and then you can get let me put this test on the table here, and you can get your test back, okay? Go ahead, grab your test, okay? Just go ahead and put on the table, you know, you'll be okay. If you have questions, you can go ahead and ask, you know.
Do we need a cover sheet for this?
One second. No, that's okay.
Okay.
Let me stop this. Stop.